Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Final show for me in 2024. Only 2 hours left now, and I am so thrilled that many of you are weighing in on social media. Happy to take a couple calls as well, 855-212-4227. I know it's not the end of 24 quite yet, but want to be able to hang out the last few hours with mom and with family on New Year's Eve. I've worked most of the New Year's Eve shows. That sounds better. We're still going to take awkward hour into 2025. I've worked most of the New Year's Eve shows of the last 12 years with a 12-year perspective, I feel like it's okay to be able to take a New Year's Eve off here and there. But it is kind of nutty to think about wrapping up year 12 on this network. I don't think I ever envisioned that I would be hosting one show for this long, more than a decade. Same network. Actually, the name of the network has changed. The name of our employer has changed multiple times, but the show has not. We named it. You all named it, actually. We did a contest going back to our second weekend on the air. We named it. And that was early in 2013. We named it After Hours with Amy Lawrence once we had received hundreds of submissions on social media from listeners who were just hearing me for the first time or were trying to find me after I made the jump from a previous network. So you all named the show. And here we are, wrapping up year 12 as a network in year 12 with After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There will be changes in 25. I can tell you that. I can't really tell you much more than that, only that we're working on some details and working out some details, but change is coming. And so I appreciate that we finished up 12 contiguous years of After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Couple vacations here and there. Very few sick days. I think I still have about 500 sick days accumulated from 12 years with the network. Gosh, maybe 12 different producers as well. So another change in 24 as producer Jay decided that he was going to find something else in his career and pursue a different avenue. And so after a couple of months of a rotating group of producers, including Ryan, who I love. He was with us the last two shows, even as I'm in Houston, and he was there in the After Hours headquarters, or the network headquarters. We kind of claim it as our own most of the time. He does a great job. Others like Carlos, who is now a full-time producer on the network. Jack is working with us tonight. So we had just a rotation of different people in to produce, and it was tough. It really was. It's hard to go from person to person and not have a real established rhythm because it's something that takes time. And then producer Pete, a veteran producer who's also been with the network since day one. He and I are two of the original employees. There aren't very many of us left. But to have him ask me if we'd be interested in working together and to have him make the jump to overnights from early, early mornings, it's been good to get into a rhythm with him, even as we head into a new year where no doubt, because it's pretty typical in our business, there will be changes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. What cool place did you visit? What great travel destination did you achieve in 24? Maybe a neat experience from 24 if you want to share those with us. I just went through a bunch of them on our Facebook page named after the show. We've also got the YouTube channel, which was revived in 24 after a few months of being dormant as we transitioned from one full-time producer to another. Hey, you know, the phone number has remained the same the entire time. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. This portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. So we have got a couple hours left here. I'll continue to share some of your memories and moments from 2024. Maybe a couple more stories for us here on this end. I have already taken way too many photos of our new family addition. Let me turn around and check on her. Okay, she appears to be sleeping at this moment. I don't think I hear any snoring emanating from her crate, but Flower, definitely not interested in sports radio, which is okay, because I think it would be harder to host the show if she were up and needing attention all the time. But when I did, so this is last night, I did go to the fridge last night to get some leftover ham that my mom made for our meal on Sunday. And the dog definitely smelled the ham and woke up and was interested in the ham at what was 3:30 or 3 o'clock local time here in Texas. So she enjoyed smelling the ham. She did not get any ham. She's been getting plenty of treats because here's what's happening. My mom and her husband have a new dog. It's a full-bred Aussie. They adopted him. It's their first boy dog they've ever had. Adopted him from a rescue. And they don't really know his story, similar to Flower. I don't really know Tucker's background, just that he was surrendered by an owner and needed a new home. And so they adopted Tucker about 2 months ago. He is crazy. He's your typical young Aussie, just over a year old, nonstop energy and all up in your grill all the time, which is okay. We love Aussies and he's gorgeous. He's very sweet. He barks up a blue streak, but he's a Red Merle, for those of you who know the breed. Just a really attractive dog and crazy. Lots of fun facial expressions that make you laugh every 5 seconds. And then we introduce Flower into the family. And because we're here, so my thought in adopting Flower the first week that we're in Texas is that I didn't really want to adopt her and then throw her in a car where we drive 1,700 miles one way and stop in different places. So I wanted her to get adjusted to us a little bit. So that's good. We brought her here on Friday. My gosh, the traffic in and around San Marcos and Austin, for those of you who know the area, it was insane. It was more than a 7-hour round trip to get the dog. But we're thankful. And she's already become my shadow. The number of times that she stepped on my flip-flops on Monday and tripped me, not on purpose, but just she's in my wake all the time. She loves, loves, loves going outside. So she will knock you over with her tail when she thinks that either you're getting her collar or her leash or you're going toward the back door or the garage. We walked more than 3 miles on Monday. More than 3 miles Sunday as well. And the dog will go outside anytime. I've discovered she's a digger. She'll chase the ball for a while and then she gets excited and starts digging holes. So got to be careful of that. She and Tucker have gone outside and have wrestled after chasing each other around until they were going to drop. So both young, both a lot of energy. She's already following me everywhere I go. And right now she's sitting behind me. She's got her turtle. She's got her fried egg, who's a little bit worse for the wear because she's carried him around a bunch. But she's back there completely uninterested in sports radio. Right, Flower? Oh, her ears just moved. So I guess she's still... She's still awake. I should stop telling stories about her so she falls into a deep sleep again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. She's our gift for the holidays for 2024. We're glad to have her. If you missed the photos, there are a few up in both of our social media sites. Like I said, I've already got way too many of her. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, and then our Facebook page as well. People have asked me what type of a dog she is. They put her online. So this is the San Marcos Animal Shelter. They put her online as an Australian Shepherd mix. I don't know how much of her is Aussie. Her face is very similar to Penny's and to an Aussie's face. And she's got the eyebrows. She's got the two little brown dots above her eyes, which mark many Aussies. They've got those eyebrows. Well, that's what we call them. And the eyes are very similar to an Aussie's. But the rest of her, not so much. She's got gigantic ears. And they stand straight up, more like a rabbit than an Aussie's. And Aussie's ears kind of fold down. Even though they can, you know, use them. Obviously, they'll bring them forward when they're really interested or when you call them. But her ears stand straight up and they're ginormous. They've got to be 6 inches tall when she's got them straight up in the air. So that looks more like German Shepherd. And her coat is wiry, short-haired and wiry. The coloring is much more like a German Shepherd. And she also has a tail that she uses as a weapon. So I'm thinking that maybe it's Australian cattle dog and not Australian Shepherd that's combined with a German Shepherd. Maybe something along those lines. But we honestly don't know her background. The only thing we know is that she was surrendered by her owner who got evicted and decided he couldn't take her with him. I can't even imagine being in that situation where you have to make that choice. So thankfully for us, she was put online as a dog that needed a home. And what we heard from I guess she was the social media supervisor of this animal shelter in San Marcos, is that they have so many shepherds, so many pit bull mixes that these are the dogs that do not get a lot of attention when it comes to adoptions. Anytime you have a golden retriever, anytime you have a boxer, they'll be gone really quickly. Puppies are adopted really quickly. But in the case of a 2-year-old, or they think she's about 2.5, they don't exactly know how old she is. But judging by her teeth, they think somewhere between 2.5 and 3. I don't know. I might even think younger because of how much energy she has. They don't exactly know what she is or where her back, you know, where she came from, just that her owner surrendered her. Weirdly enough, though, they don't know how old she is, but they know her name. I don't know if the previous owner left a note when he surrendered her and said her name is Flower, or maybe she is microchipped. So maybe the name was with the microchip in the system. Not exactly sure, but that's about it. I can tell she has been through a lot. They said that her 3 months at the shelter were really tough. She's a smaller dog. When we were there, so I visited her on Monday just to meet her for the first time, and then we went back on Friday to pick her up. And the noise there, they have a couple hundred dogs in cages there. The noise, it assaults you. It assaults your senses. And so I can imagine what it's like for a dog who's really sensitive. When we get her outside, she's a little timid initially in coming up to me and my husband and also our dog Daisy. We took Daisy with us on Friday. And so there's been a bit of an acclimation period, but she's already bonded with me. I can tell my husband's been gone a couple days, but she really seemed to like him as well. Initially, Daisy's kind of cranky, which is funny because she's only 2.5, but she acts like a cranky old lady. So there weren't any tough moments with the two, just Daisy's less interested in Flower than Flower is of Daisy. And we were going to change her name, I think, just because you hear Flower and you're like, okay, who names a dog Flower? I mean, there was a skunk named Flower in, was it Bambi? Bambi, I think, the Disney movie, there was a skunk named Flower. Or was it Lady and the Tramp?
No, it was Bambi, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Jack. So Jack knows Bambi and his Disney trivia. There was a skunk named Flower. And so we thought about changing it. But now that we've met her and she knows the name, we've decided it actually is pretty appropriate. So I've called her everything from Flower Power to Flower Hour to FloJo, just because she's really fast, to Flower Bud, Flower Bell, Flower Girl, and it works. She, like I said, that tail, it starts going the second she hears her name, and now I think it works. It works with Daisy, Daisy and Flower. So welcome to the family, Flower Power. Oh, nope, eyes are closed now. Different pose in the crate behind me. The door's open to the crate. She can go in and out, but it seems to be her safe space. And I appreciate that since she's been through a lot. 855-212-4227, online at A-Law Radio, and also our Facebook page. You can vote for NFL MVP. We've had a ton of your votes in with 1 week left in the NFL regular season, because this is a regular season award. Right now, and I don't know whether or not we're a good gauge for what the voters will do, because they may have different definitions of value, but about half of you are saying Josh Allen is the NFL MVP, but that voting will continue. There's still one more week to go. I've seen everything, though, from Josh to Lamar to Joe Burrow. So those are three quarterbacks. Sam Darnold as a write-in vote. Jared Goff in there as well. We've also seen a lot of traffic for Saquon Barkley and even some for Derrick Henry. And so there are a lot of different ways that you can define value. I think in the case of the NFL regular season, sometimes it goes the way of teams who have the best record and also the best player, which I don't love, because think about Joe Burrow. Where would the Bengals be without Joe Burrow? Right, they're at 8-8 right now. They're still alive for the playoffs, but where would they be without Joe? They would be nowhere. That's where they'd be without Joe. And so you can define value in that way as well. When it comes to Saquon Barkley, if he gets the NFL single season rushing record, he's 101 yards shy. If he gets that record, I don't know how you don't give him the award. And so I hope that you've got voters who are waiting until this final week is done, week 18, before they submit their ballots. Maybe there are guys who've made up their mind and it doesn't matter what they see in week 18. It won't change their minds. But I think that if Saquon Barkley sets the record, one that stood for over a decade now, or for a decade, let me see, was it two? Let me go back and see when, I should know this right off the top of my head, when Eric Dickerson set the record. I know that a few years ago when, and it's more than a few years ago now, when we had Adrian Peterson go over 2,000 yards, he was the NFL MVP. So I feel like this is such a record that, oh gosh, I was thinking of Adrian Peterson when I was saying a decade plus. It's his record, Dickerson's record, goes back to 84, playing for the Rams. So if Saquon Barkley breaks that record, I don't know how you don't give him the MVP. And people have pointed out that there were fewer games for Dickerson, but I'm not sure that matters. I actually think that carries, the number of carries, is important, but also it can be harder to stay healthy and be productive over the course of 17 games versus 16 games, or even going back to when the season was 14 games. And then another argument that I think you can make is that Saquon Barkley potentially is setting the record, but for sure going over 2,000 yards in a season of the NFL, and by season I mean time span, so maybe 15 years, the last 15 years of the NFL, when it's much more tilted toward passing yards and high-flying, potent passing attacks. And he plays with a quarterback who has the tush-push and the brotherly shove down to a science. And so here he is with Jalen Hurts, who gets all of the touchdowns once they're up, you know, within reaching distance, like literal reaching distance of the goal line, when they're in the red zone and they're in these scoring situations that put them right on the cusp. How often is it just Jalen Hurts? How much of Jalen's touchdown number is padded by those tush pushes from a yard out or 2 yards out? Think how many more touchdowns Saquon Barkley would have. And so he is their bell cow, and he's the guy that they're counting on over and over again. He's given them an identity again, 2 years after they made the Super Bowl and then kind of wandered in the wilderness. He has a chance to set this new mark and set the new standard in a very different NFL than the one Eric Dickerson played in. If you're wondering, Dickerson has indicated he does not want Saquon Barkley to break his record. I love his honesty. I think that's kind of funny considering that a lot of guys would tell you, oh, records are made to be broken, blah, blah, blah. Nope, not Eric Dickerson. He told USA Today, Jarrett Bell, the reporter, absolutely not when he was asked if he wanted to see Saquon set the new mark. He goes on to say, quote, that doesn't even make sense. I don't want nobody to break my record. He even said if he breaks it, he doesn't want anybody to break his. I get it. So he said it more than once. Now to USA Today, previously to the LA Times. He says he didn't think.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saquon would break it, but if he did get close, he won't pull any punches. Not going to whine about it, but I don't want him to break my record. So here he is on the cusp. And we don't know yet how much we'll see of Saquon Barkley. I tend to think it should be Saquon's choice. As much as Nick Sirianni has to navigate, not just the final week of the regular season, but on into the postseason, it should be Saquon's choice. If he wants to go after the record, great. If they want to put him out there and give him a bunch of carries in the first half, terrific. But if he doesn't want to, or it's not important to him, I mean, he's kind of taken the high road with it. What passive approach and saying that if it's God's plan, well, then he'll be out there. He wants to do what's best for the team. He didn't show up in Philadelphia to set any records. So, you know, that's the right thing to say, I suppose. But if he and the Eagles have a chance to put him in the record books as the single season all-time leading rusher, why not do it? To me, that makes sense. And actually, this is a question that's been asked about Josh Allen, another MVP candidate. Will he play against the Patriots? We got that answer on Monday, so we'll share that with you coming back at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too. Looking for your unique and cool experiences, especially travel in 2024, because I'm kind of on the travel kick right now. Glad to hear from you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on what is our final show of 24 together. But we will be back with you New Year's night after the college football quarterfinals. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for hanging out with us. About 90 minutes to go in our final show, my final show, our final show together in 2024. I don't know how that's possible, but we're trying to have some fun to cap this year. So what's the coolest place you traveled or visited, or maybe your coolest experience in the last 12 months? Good to have you with us. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Lots of you weighing in with photos of where you traveled or family moments, which is really neat. I love the holiday shows because they're really out of the norm for so many of us, right? I mean, I'm out of my typical routine. I'm in shorts in Texas in December. What is that about? I'm in shorts and I'm sitting in my mom's spare bedroom, which we've turned into a pillow fort. We've kind of lined the walls with pillows to deaden the sound and make it sound more like a studio, which is a trick I learned from an engineer. And I try to think about the number of people that are traveling. I know we've seen a ton of people on the roads just in our going back and forth between Temple and the Houston area, even going to get the dog in San Marcos, which again is near Austin. So many people on the roads. And so what happens this time of the year is you've got people out of their regular routines, not listening when they normally would to the radio, or maybe listening to the radio when generally they're sleeping or they're working. And so people hear the show for the first time or for the first time in a long time and are able to reconnect with us. So that's why I love to do holiday end of year stuff. Also, it's hard to survive in our society. And so you hit another year and celebrate another New Year's. And yeah, it's worth marking. It's worth the fireworks, or the fireworks emoji, if you will. So on Facebook, named after the show, or on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And while you're there, you can answer the question about NFL MVP, like the actual NFL MVP, not our Monday MVP, which we do routinely throughout the NFL season. One of the candidates right now, I think you would say front runner for the award, is Josh Allen. At least according to you, about 50% of your votes have gone the way of Josh Allen so far. The question about week 18 looms for a lot of athletes. I mean, even wrapping up week 17, we had a bunch of different teams with not a whole lot to gain, maybe injuries as the risk. And so the questions are asked about whether or not they would keep their guys, some of their key people on the sidelines. Dan Campbell and the Lions chose not to do it, even though they didn't stand to gain or lose much from Monday Night Football against the Niners. They ended up winning that game late, and it was Jared Goff handing off to Jahmyr Gibbs with about 3 minutes to go for a 30-yard touchdown run. So they end up with another big win. Is it about momentum? I don't know. Does it carry forward from week to week? Sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. But their big game comes up in week 18 against the Vikings. What about the Bills? They've already clinched the AFC East. Gosh, that happened almost a month ago. They've already locked up the 2 seed in the AFC. Will Josh Allen start against the Patriots on, it's Sunday, I think it's the early afternoon game, and this is a game on the road. Will he start? Well, Sean McDermott was asked that question on Monday.
In Josh's case, one of the things that we know is very, very important to him is his consecutive starts streak, if you will. And it's important to him for a great reason. He wants to be out there with his teammates. And so he will be out there for a very, very short lived amount of time. And then he'll be off rather quickly there.
So that's Sean McDermott indicating that it's important to Josh Allen that he keep his consecutive starts streak alive. And if you're wondering the number, right now he's at 104. He started 104 consecutive games, hasn't missed a start since his rookie year. And this is not because he's been fully healthy or any quarterback out there is fully healthy right now. Nah, these guys are playing through injuries. They're gutting it out in many cases, physically, mentally. I mean, it seems like because of the style that Josh Allen plays, he's constantly dealing with wrist pain, sometimes fingers, elbows, arms. And that's probably the case for all quarterbacks, since those are the parts that you're using the most. But going back to 2000, he's just outside the top 10. He's got the 11th longest start streak with quarterbacks, but the longest active streak. So this is why it's important to him. And honestly, no one else is close. Jared Goff made start number 51 in a row Monday night against the Niners. So he's got half of what Josh Allen has got. And Josh will make start number 105 against the Patriots. And I can understand why that would be important. I mean, that speaks to longevity. It speaks to toughness. It speaks to commitment and dedication. And it speaks to the fact that he cares a bit about being out there with his teammates, which I love. So good for Josh Allen. The fact that he is in the conversation for MVP again. I mean, this seems to happen a lot of years since he's been in the league, though he's not won an NFL MVP. Maybe this is the year. But the Bills offense has the most points over 500, the most touchdowns, right now 63, in their franchise history. And he is having a career year. Fewest interceptions, only a half dozen. Fewest number of fumbles, only 5 of them. Now, remember in the past, one of the Achilles heels for Josh has been turnovers. Not because he can't take care of the football, not because he doesn't understand the value of the football, but because at times he'll try to do too much. And also because he's a beast, right? I mean, and I mean that as a compliment. He's big. He's physical. He's tough. Too often in his career with the Bills, he's been their top running back. I don't love that. But also because he has a massive cannon for an arm, and because of the fact that he believes and he's aggressive and he's got the attacking mentality, yeah, there are times where he's turned the ball over too much. Last year was one of those times. Here he is with an offensive line that is performing brilliantly in front of him. James Cook has been awesome for their run game as well in the second half, and he is turning the ball over fewer times than he ever has. Also, give credit to the offensive line for the fact that he's been sacked fewer times this season than ever in his career. So I love it. I love that Josh is going to extend his streak. He's going to get out there and start, and then he's going to allow other guys to get reps. He's going to allow, he's going to root on his team, of course, and believe that they are going into the playoffs, playing some of their best football. Man, to watch them on the field against the Jets. I mean, say what you will about the Jets, but I love the football they're playing. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself or ahead of the NFL and where it is with another week to go in the regular season, but just think about it for a moment, just a nanosecond. Bills versus either Lions or Vikings in the Super Bowl. Are you kidding? If there is ever an NFL postseason that you don't want to miss, this is it. There's so many possibilities because the Chiefs, as much as people can point to them and say they stink or they're not nearly as good as they've been in the past, maybe that's the case, but does it matter? No, it doesn't now. Doesn't at all. They're 15-1. They've got the best record in football. They are the two-time defending champ, the toughest out in sports. They've won 6 in a row. They've got the top seed in the AFC, which means, unlike last season, once again, you got to go through Arrowhead. You got to go through the Chiefs to be able to win the AFC and then get on into the Super Bowl. So it's tremendous. They're a team that has been there, done that multiple times, right? 3 times in the past 5 years. The Lions, the Vikings, the Bills, they become sentimental favorites when you realize they've never won the Super Bowl. In the case of the Lions, they've never even been to the Super Bowl. Wowzers. But there are other ways this could play out, too. You've got some great dark horses out there. The Eagles, they did win the Super Bowl a few years ago under Doug Peterson with Nick Foles as their quarterback. This is a completely different iteration. And they went there 2 years ago. How about the Commanders, who haven't won in decades, who haven't even had hope of winning a Super Bowl in decades? They've won 4 in a row now. There are just a lot of different ways things can play out. The Ravens with Lamar Jackson, the Steelers. Mike Tomlin had Ben Roethlisberger back when he won the Super Bowl. And so the roster is almost completely turned over in his case as well. What about the Texans? They've also never won a Super Bowl. So I love it. I love the infinite possibilities as we head toward the NFL playoffs. And teams are now making their final preparations. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be sitting out their best players. So we'll watch. We'll watch and we'll wait with bated breath. And we'll hope and we'll dream about what's to come in January and February. Plus the college football playoff in its expanded version, she said, in its expanded. That's a tough phrase. You know, one thing that won't change in 25 is me making up words or juxtaposing syllables and sounds. That will definitely not change in 2025. At A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Thanks for weighing in. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks so much for one more show. It's actually not even a whole show now. We're down to just an hour and 15 minutes for me in 2024. And as I say, there will be changes in 25, not early in the year, but there will be some changes, stuff on the horizon. It's kind of been brewing for a couple of years. At this point, that's all I can say. I know once we get into the NFL playoffs, this will become a distant memory and you won't care at all. But yeah, looking forward to some new challenges and fresh perspective and a fresh start in 2025. And I'll let you know when there's news to share. 855-212-4227. Lots of you weighing in on Facebook as well as on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. We're looking for your cool experiences in 24. Maybe the neatest place that you traveled. And I love hearing from so many of you all around the country. And also, I guess it shouldn't surprise me because in the holidays, often because we're out of our regular routines, we're not beholden to any type of a schedule. And so maybe you're up later or you're up earlier or you're traveling, you're on the move. If you're going to the gym, well, you are way ahead of me. Jack and I were just talking about how we feel like we've put We put on 20 pounds over the course of these holidays. It just happens that way, right? All the food seems to be heavier. There are way more sweets than there need to be ever in any one single kitchen. And why is it that we have to eat them all? That seems to happen to me every single year. So yeah, starting the new year, I'm excited about getting back to the gym. That's for sure. Also think that I'm going to have to sign up for a new half marathon. I've done 9 of them in my life. I need one more for an even 10. I don't know if I'll stop there. Sometimes I think I will. Sometimes I think I'm getting too old to be running half marathons. But I do really appreciate the challenge. And also the training helps me to get in good shape when I'm trying to shed some pounds from the holidays or the winter time. Although here in Texas, wearing shorts and flip-flops, which is just odd. I can't quite get used to it. My niece, my younger niece, they're back in Virginia after their Christmas trip to St. Louis. And she sent me a text on Monday saying, it looks like you guys are going to get snow next week, which I hope is the case because I love snow. Snow to start the new year would be awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, love hearing your hearing your experiences, reading your posts, so keep those coming. It's a new experience for Doug Christie in 2024. Well, 24 into 25. He has taken over as the interim head coach for Mike Brown. So the Sacramento Kings, remember them? They play in the Bay Area, California. Maybe you haven't paid much attention to them. Mike Brown led the Kings to their first playoff appearance in more than 15 years. So in 2023, they made the playoffs. But it's been kind of rough since then. And so they've now made a change. They fire Mike Brown. And right now they were riding a season-long losing skid. Fans were booing them off their own court. And so here is Doug Christie, an iconic king in his own right. And he leads them to their first win, helps them to end what was a 6-game losing skid. And as a guy who spent 15 years in the NBA, this is a different role for him, but I love the way he couches it. So he was meeting the media on Monday, talking about his approach and his perspective and kind of the shift for him to wrap up the year.
Well, I love you first, because this is an incredible fan base. But I would say more than anything, know that we are here to put a product out on the floor that makes you proud. It doesn't really go farther than that. Where that leads us, I think everyone in this room understands who I am and what I'm trying to do, so I don't need to reiterate that. But first and foremost, like, there's steps to that process. And the first step is that when they walk in the doors and they leave the doors, they know that that team played their f-ing ass off, period. Yeah.
Doug, you're going to get fined for that.
Am I really? Did I get fined? It kind of just came out. I apologize, you guys. Why you ask a question like that, man?
Doug Christie, welcome to coaching. So yeah, he wants them to play hard. He wants them to give it everything he's got. He did say though that even with the interim tag, that being a head coach hasn't sunk in for him. So he's done some assistant coaching, obviously some scouting before he got promoted, if you will. He was hoping to catch up on some sleep. That's what he said. He was hoping to catch up on sleep. Don't we all wish we could do that over the holidays and it doesn't really ever pan out, at least not for me. Instead, there he is on the sidelines against the Lakers. And instead of sleeping a night or two, he's napping just to be ready for his coaching debut. And he didn't want to see this happen to Mike Brown, that we know. It's not easy to fire a coach in season. And I generally believe owners and general managers when they tell you that they don't want to see this happen, of course, because constant change equals constant losing in sports. But also, many of them have developed relationships with the guys that they hire as coaches. And yet it's a fast moving business. Sports industry, it's nonstop, and there is no job security. There is no stability when you are a coach. It's even worse, I think, than when you're a player, which he knows well from his time in the NBA. But the average NFL and NBA careers don't even last 5 seasons. How about that? We talk about LeBron James, who's now playing into his third decade. He's 40 years old after his birthday on Monday. We think about guys like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, who are future Hall of Famers, or even guys who, and when we talked about this earlier, Matthew Stafford, who will turn 37 Super Bowl weekend. I mean, these are guys that we kind of think are the norm just because we've had them around for so long, and yet that's not the case. These careers are so short, which is why guys want to get those free agent deals, which is why guys are anxious to sign for the guaranteed money, because they know you may not have another opportunity to do what you're doing right now, to sign on the dotted line. Coaches, their tenure, not all like Andy Reid, not like John Harbaugh, not like... who else can I, Mike Tomlin, can I put in the equation, or even a Bill Belichick, who spent 50 years in the NFL, 20 years as the head coach of the New England Patriots. It's not typical because the business is so competitive and it's so high stakes when it comes to the money that's sunk in by teams, by owners, which means that they're looking for results. And a lot of times that produces impatience. I mean, think about David Tepper since he took over as the owner of the Panthers. Think about some of the other ownership groups. Cleveland comes to mind, both basketball and football, where they will constantly make changes and they're looking for the golden goose, if you will. They're looking for that one person who's going to change the direction of their franchise. In the case of the Browns, they thought it was Deshaun Watson. I don't think everybody in the organization believed it was Deshaun Watson, but they were hoping that this was the one quarterback who could change everything for them finally after, 20 plus years now since they were reborn in Cleveland. Instead, it hasn't worked, and so we're looking at more changes on the horizon, and that often separates the haves and the have-nots in sports. The teams that have stability and steadiness at their leadership positions and the teams that do not. So we've got 1 hour to go in my final show of 2024. Great to hear from so many of you at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too, from the After Hours Super Secret Home Base. Well, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.